Good morning, Nashville. This is Morning Drive. Ryan Porth alongside Calvin Smith here with you on your Morning Drive. In for Braden Gall and Derek Mason.
Nice one as always, Ryan.
I mean,
it just works too well.
It just fits. It's so natural to say that. Listening to Morning Drive on your Morning Drive.
It's perfect. That's why you're the PD.
Well, yeah, maybe. So we're talking a whole lot of Titans this morning, but we also talked some Preds last segment. Roman Josi has been fantastic in these last five games in which the Preds have won four of their last five. And joining us now for his weekly visit is Joe Rexrode of The Athletic. Joe, hope you had a good Christmas.
A very good one, and I hope the same for you guys, and happy holidays. How are we doing?
Pretty good. Speaking of Roman Josi, he has put this team on his back in the last five games. The team has won four of five. They've collected nine of a possible 10 points in those five games. Are you buying what the Preds are selling right now? Do you think they've turned that corner?
I'm definitely buying Roman Josi. I mean, is this like married Josi now? Married Josi is, one of the best players in the league. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, what the difference is. But, I think this is a captain elevating his team. He's just doing ridiculous stuff. And, I never bought that, they were in huge trouble. You watch enough of these 82-game seasons, and it's just there's going to be ups and downs. All of a sudden, they're right back in it. It basically takes a couple good weeks, and now you're right back in it. Now, you can't afford too many more of these dips where you are. But, this is a playoff team. You've got to get better goaltending, long term, but I still think that they will, and I think from both guys. And I think they're fine. Do I think this, red hot team right now is who they are? I don't know. I mean, I still think there are a lot of guys who have to elevate their games, but when it's all said and done, I think we're going to be talking about this team in the postseason. I've never not thought that.
Do you think Pekka is starting to turn a corner with his last two performances?
Yeah, and it's good to see. I mean, overall, I mean, look, the overall, we knew at some point Pekka was going to, is going to diminish a bit, and I think we may be seeing that. But, yeah, he's played well, as you said, the last couple. We'll see. I mean, it does still feel like there's a transition going on. And, we knew it was going to happen at some point. But it would be huge for this team if both of those guys could get going and you have a good choice every night.
Hey, Joe, Calvin Smith here. Bill O'Brien came out and said that this Texans team, the Titans are about to play, we're taking our Titans shift here, they were going to be playing to win this game. Do you buy it that he's saying that, everybody's probably going to play and they're going to play like they have everything to lose?
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, I still haven't heard him say definitively who he's playing or who he's sitting, So I understand his mindset of, we got to win this game. And look, if you're Bill O'Brien, 4 out of 5 years winning the division, that's great. But at some point, you better do something in the playoffs. You've got to be in the best possible position to do something in the playoffs. You got Deshaun Watson, who hurt his ankle in Tampa Bay. Anybody watch that game? I mean, he went in the injury tent. He was limping around. Came out and finished the game because he's tough, and he would certainly probably be able to play this week if he could. But to me, it's why would you mess with that when you've got Buffalo coming in almost for sure? The thing is, if they were competing for a bye still, then to me, then okay, you've got to have the mindset of winning, and then maybe a kickoff if you know, then you change your plans. But the best they can do here is the three, and I just don't see how that's incentive enough to put your guys in jeopardy when you could do something in the playoffs. You got J.J. Watt, it looks like, coming back. You got a team that could make noise. You can't mess with that right now. So, no, Calvin, I don't buy it. I don't think Bill O'Brien is dumb enough to do this. I really don't. I mean, maybe does he put Deshaun Watson out there for a series or two and then pull him? I guess I could see that. I mean, we see DeAndre Hopkins is on the injury list too. Will Fuller's not going to play. I think the Titans are going to be seeing A.J. McCarron and Kenny Stills and, you know, be in a great position to win this game.
What's your read on Derrick Henry? Do you think he's going to be 100% and able to tote the rock 25 times?
Well, I mean, 100% is so tough to, you know, with the hamstring stuff. I mean, it might be another month of him sitting and he still wouldn't be 100%. He might be 100% right now. You know, I don't know. But I think certainly getting that rest for him last week was, I mean, it made sense considering that, you know, just that game didn't mean a whole lot. And so I think he'll probably look better this week. You know, the fact that he was a full participant on, or I guess projects as a full participant, you know, is a good sign. We'll see today, you know, how much he's involved. But I would have to think he would look better than he did against the Texans a couple weeks ago. That game you could really see. And he still had good numbers. He still had a productive day. But you could see the difference. He just didn't have that gear, you know, to bounce that run from a, you know, 10-yarder into a 50-yarder. And that's what they need back from him.
Joe Rexroad of The Athletic, brought to you by Holly Garenzen, your local Geico agent on Rosa Parks Boulevard. Holly can help you out with your car, home, motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance. That there's an RV. Located at 2120 Rosa Parks Boulevard. Think local, buy local with Geico. Joe, when you look at Derrick Henry, how do you prioritize the Titans possibly re-signing him in the offseason compared to the likes of Ryan Tannehill, Logan Ryan, and maybe even Jack Conklin?
Well, I mean, the two guys you have to have, Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, next year. You have to. That would be, to me, that would be crazy not to have those guys next year. You could tag. You could use the tag, and you've got the transition tag along with the franchise tag. So maybe that would be employed. But I think the Titans, if they could figure out a way to you know, sign them both the deals, I think that would make sense. You know, the other two guys are interesting. I think there's conventional wisdom that, you know, Logan Ryan, you know, that would really make sense. He was having a great year before. You know, he's been put in a bad position here with Adoree Jackson and Malcolm Butler being out. But when he was playing his role for this team, he was playing great football. I think if you can make that happen, you do. And I think the conventional wisdom has kind of been, well, Conklin, you know, no big deal. They have Dennis Kelly. To me, Jack Conklin has played his best football this year since his rookie season. He's healthy again. He's in good shape. I know against the Saints, you know, that whole offensive line did not have a good day. It was kind of a regression day. So coming right off that, you know, it doesn't look good. But I think for several weeks there, he's been a big, big part of this offensive line making big strides this year. I think frankly, look, it's not my money, Ryan. So I mean, sign all of them. You know, you got to make it work. Can you make that work and still, you know, do something in free agency to try to address the pass rush? You know, that's the hard part. You know, I think you're going to have to hit in the draft. You're not that far away, to me, if you get everybody back healthy, you keep getting progress from, you know, guys like A.J. Brown, and, you know, you get Corey Davis. I think he's going to be playing that last year next year and trying to earn something, but you know, I think all four of those guys, if you could make it work, would absolutely be a smart way to go. And you got to try to get, you know, another back in the draft. And some way, somehow, you got to be able to afford, you know, adding to that pass rush, because that, to me, is the biggest need right now.
Joe, next time you're on Thursday, next Thursday, 8 a.m., are you talking about a Titans playoff appearance or Titans screwing the pooch in Houston?
Well, I think I'm talking about a Titans playoff appearance. You know, I think Bill O'Brien is going to be cautious here. He can say what he wants. He wants his team to win, of course. He wants the routine. He wants, you know, momentum and all that. But I just don't think he's going to put his guys in jeopardy that he has to have against Buffalo. So I think the Titans are going to rise to this occasion and get this win.
Joe Rexroad of The Athletic. You can hear him on this show every Thursday at 8 a.m. Joe, thanks as always, and Happy New Year.
All right. Happy New Year, Ryan, Calvin. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe Rexroad of The Athletic. Coming up next, we'll continue the Titans conversation. Ryan Tannehill, what does he have to prove this week in Houston, winning your in? Possibly the first playoff game for Ryan Tannehill. If they can win. It would be his first playoff game if they can win Sunday. What does he have to prove in this game against the Texans? We'll get into that next. He's Calvin Smith. I'm Ryan Porth. We are in for Brandon Gall and Derek Mason this morning on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into the show. Ryan Porth alongside Calvin Smith on this Thursday morning here in Nashville. In for Brandon Gall and Derek Mason this morning. Text us at 615-737-1025. What was your worst Christmas gift that you received this week? Either Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. What was the worst Christmas gift that you received? And we will reward that person with a 4-pack of movie passes to the Malco Theater in Smyrna. So text us at 615-737-1025.
I'll tell you what, Ryan. Nobody got a better gift than me because I'm wearing my Bob Ross Christmas tree socks here. They're propped up on the table for all to see in the studio.
For all of us, which is just myself and Marquise Munson.
And Marquise is hard at work back there. I commend him.
Yes. I will ask you to now put your shoes back on.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But what was your worst Christmas gift? I've had some doozies over the years. I didn't have a bad one this Christmas, but I know there are a lot of people out there that get Christmas gifts where you're just like, really? This is the gift? And I know Christmas is more about giving than it is receiving, but there are some of those moments over the years that I know I've had of, okay, this is an interesting gift. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I think when I was 13, I got like a Thomas the Tank Engine kind of train, like one of those ones that would connect with magnets to other trains that you would play with when you were little. And I was 13, and I was like, is this a mistake? Was this meant for somebody else? Because I kind of outgrew this.
I loved Thomas the Tank Engine when I was like 4 years old.
Oh, same. I was a big Thomas the Tank Engine guy. I also liked, what was that show? Can't remember it. Oh, well.
Good talk.
Thanks.
So this week, week 17 in Houston, the Titans, if they win, they are in for the second time in the last 3 years. And Ryan Tannehill is the biggest reason why they are in this position here in week 17 against the Houston Texans. Calvin, do you feel like he has anything to prove this Sunday in Houston?
Nothing to prove. I mean, unless he goes out and just absolutely blows it. Like, he's already proven that he's the guy next year for this team, likely. Like, that's pretty much cemented in stone. But what we're going to learn about him really comes down to what his floor is. And we're starting to get glimpses of that more and more every week as we see the offense, you know, really kind of not be the same juggernaut it was for a few weeks there when he was playing like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL because he was playing that good at times. So what we're going to see is what the real Ryan Tannehill is going to be like next season for the Titans. But in terms of having something to prove, I don't really see that. And aside from what they're proving about this team this season, and if they are able to go from, well, pretty bad to start the year to, oh, they might be good, to good, now do they actually make that transition of good to great that everyone was talking about in the preseason?
Well, if he goes out there and balls out this week and goes to Kansas City and helps the Titans pull off an upset, and all of a sudden they're in the divisional round of the playoffs again, second time in 3 years, do you really think that's what we're going to see from Ryan Tannehill next season and beyond in a Titans uniform?
No. No, I mean, he is going to fall back to average. Like it's starting to happen on throws now that aren't getting completed, that we're getting completed. Like, no matter what he does, like, if there's anything I'm very confident in, it's that Ryan Tannehill will be an average quarterback for the Titans next year, and at times look bad and at times look good. That's just the game you're playing, though, at this point.
Mm-hmm. But he's looked mostly good. What if Ryan Tannehill is more than an average quarterback than what we saw in Miami?
Then that'd be
the change of scenery from the Dolphins to the Titans was the breakthrough in his career.
That would be one of the best stories in the NFL then. And it would tell you something about Adam Gase and the New York Jets now and the trajectory of Sam Darnold's career, if that's true. Because then you should feel really bad if you're sitting in your car driving and you're a Jets fan wondering, man, is this Gase thing going to work out? Darnold, we can't figure him out. If Ryan Tannehill actually is good and we see that happen over the next several games, couple years, then Sam Darnold and his future do not look good in New York.
I'm not a believer in Sam Darnold one bit.
Well, I didn't think he was the best quarterback coming out of that draft.
Sam Darnold is Ugh. At times, very bad.
And he's not getting helped at all by that organization up there. And granted, they were a mess. They just hired their new GM. They were a mess when they came in. You know, they made some moves to help him out, but the past regime did him no favors. And then I'm not sold on Adam Gase as an offensive genius, to put that in air quotes.
See, I don't think Tannehill has much to prove in this game, because there's not much that I can see Sunday that will say he's not the guy, which is essentially what you just said a couple minutes ago. I think he has more to prove once they're in the playoffs, and he can prove in Kansas City on the road in that playoff environment that if he goes in there and helps the Titans win in Kansas City for the second time in the last 3 years in the playoffs, if he goes out there and does that, then I don't think you're in a position where you're going to be drafting a quarterback in the first round as his backup, I'm being completely honest.
You know a quarterback who went into Kansas City in the playoffs and played his butt off? He's on the roster still.
Marcus Mariota.
Number 8, Marcus Mariota did that.
Very fair point.
And that's not to say that I don't think Ryan Tannehill is going to be the guy for this team, and then he's not going to be a good quarterback. But I'm saying with this small sample size that you cannot bet on that going forward every week. And we've been preaching this on the kickoff the last few weeks, Sunday mornings before all the Titans games, me and Elijah Campbell, that Ryan Tannehill's going to fall back to earth, and there's going to be that game where you're sitting there scratching your head and you're saying, oh, man, this is why they let him go in Miami. Mm-hmm. I see it. Because right now we have not seen that one bit at all, and it kind of makes the Dolphins look silly for what it looks like they've wasted. Well, we know that's not the case with him.
When you bring up Mariota in Kansas City in the playoffs 2 years ago, I agree, he was fantastic, but that was more of an outlier performance from Marcus Mariota compared to the bigger sample size that we had of him. Whereas Ryan Tannehill, if he goes in there and does the same thing, this smaller sample size that we've seen has been unbelievable.
Better than Mariota was at his peak.
I mean, so much better.
I'm making the same point as you, but about Ryan Tannehill, because I'm saying this sample size has been a streak of him playing really, really well and kind of not catching the league by surprise, because everybody had tape on Tannehill. But in this offense, with Derrick Henry then having his resurgence, A.J. Brown is a wrinkle in this, Jonnu Smith being able to hit big plays, Adam Humphries was a good blanket for him a lot of times before he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying Ryan Tannehill is also on a streak right now. And it's slowly coming to an end here. Like, we're seeing him not leading the league in completion percentage metrics and completing insane passes down the field. I mean, the magic is slowly but surely wearing off. And I don't think this is the week that Ryan Tannehill has that game where you sit back and you scratch your head and you say, oh, man. Oh, geez. Where you have that kind of question about whether he's the guy going forward. Because there are matchups they can exploit in this Texans secondary for sure. I mean, they got the guys in their secondary not because they picked them or they were highly touted free agents, but kind of just because they became available as former first-round picks, Gerrion Conley, Vernon Hargreaves, and the like.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Tannehill should have a good game this week, but when he's playing a team like the Patriots in the postseason or the Chiefs, they've been good on defense this year, not great, but when he's playing one of those teams, you could see the game where you just leave scratching your head and you're saying, okay, they're going to need a quarterback at some point in the future soon, because obviously Tannehill's not the long-term answer. That's coming. I just don't think this week.
When do you think we get that answer?
If they make it to the playoffs, I think they will run into, if they run into one of those defenses, especially like the Patriots, but if they hit a Ravens team that plays good defense or the Bills again, I think those are the most likely candidates, especially if they play the Bills. I mean, the Bills play great defense up there. They have for the last couple of years now.
If the Titans happen to win the next two games, I think their run ends in Baltimore, because they would be the sixth seed. And if they go into Kansas City and win that game, then they would go to Baltimore on divisional weekend. That's where I think this run would stop for the Titans.
And I have a hard time buying them beating Kansas City twice in the same year. I mean, they should not have beat that Chiefs team.
I agree, but they have had the Chiefs number in the last few years.
And it is Andy Reid in the playoffs, and I know that whole thing exists about Andy Reid in the playoffs.
Not only Andy Reid, but the Chiefs organization.
Yeah.
If that was an organization that had a lot of Super Bowls and they consistently got to the AFC Championship game and they were there every year and they didn't have this history of wetting the bed in the playoffs, then I would fear the Chiefs a lot more. If the Chiefs had the Titans' number, I would fear the Chiefs a lot more. But the fact that the Titans have had their number, I think, compared to some of the other options. Now, it's going to sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here. If they were going to New England, I would feel a lot less confident going into that game, even though I think the Patriots are the worst of the four, just because of it's New England.
It's New England, and Belichick is a defensive genius who's going to figure something out in the playoffs when it matters most, like he always does. I mean, I would feel more confident
going into Kansas City if I'm the Titans than I would New England.
You would feel more confident going into Kansas City?
Yes, than I would if I was going into New England.
Yes. For sure. Well, I mean, because no one wants to bet against the Patriots, but I think that you'd be hard pressed to get Patrick Mahomes twice in the same year, especially with the way they won that game. I mean, blocking Butker's kick, their average win probability throughout that game was below 40%. Translation, they shouldn't have won, and throughout most of the game, they were not favored or likely to win.
There's been a touch of luck and magic with this run for the Titans.
I mean, that's what happens when you're on a run like this. It takes a little bit of Ty Smith returning a blocked kick to the house.
Mm-hmm. Or
Dane Crook,
Joshua Kalu blocking the kick against the Kansas City Chiefs. Tune in to 102.5 The Game on Monday for the 2019 Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium. It is Louisville against Mississippi State. Coverage of the game is sponsored by Hi-Fi Buys, Houston Clinic Orthopedics, and Holly Garenzen, your local GEICO agent. Tickets are available to purchase at Ticketmaster.com. Coming up next, we'll continue this Titans conversation, and we'll look at some hypotheticals. What if they win this week but lose in Wild Card Weekend? What if they lose this week in Houston? How do we view this Titans season in 2019? We'll get to that coming up next. He's Calvin Smith. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome into the show. Ryan Porth and Calvin Smith here with you from the Wholesale Inc. studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. In for Braden Gall and Derek Mason this morning. They will both be back tomorrow morning. As a reminder, you can text us at 615-737-1025. Your worst Christmas gift that you received this week. We have a couple good ones that we will share later on in the show. But the worst Christmas gift will win a 4-pack of movie passes to the Malco Theater in Smyrna. So 615-737-1025. Text us your worst Christmas gift. So we've been talking Titans, and obviously a massive game for them coming up Sunday, 3:25 down in Houston. If the Titans win, they are in the playoffs, as you know. And how this 2019 season is going to be viewed is very intriguing to me, because before the season, I would have said another 9-7 season would have been tough to swallow. This team has aspirations of taking the next step. That's what the fan base wants. What 9-7 was in 2016 isn't what it is in 2019 in terms of how you view what this team is doing. However, Calvin, if this team wins Sunday and they go 9-7 after starting 2-4 and they make it to the playoffs, Ryan Tannehill looks like the answer as your quarterback, at least for 2020, perhaps beyond, but at least for 2020. If that happens, I don't know how you can sit back and say this was a failure, when I think a lot of Titans fans would have viewed 2019 as a failure if they went 9-7, even if they made the playoffs, because it was just yet another 9-7 season for the fourth straight year.
Given the scenario, yes, you're going to feel good about getting up 9-7 if you're this team, because towards the back half of this year, they have not looked 9-7 at all. But I think once you pull out to the grand scope, if they get bounced in the first round of the playoffs or something like that, you'll pull out and you'll say, dang, how is this team any different than what they have been in the past?
Will you, though?
I think you will, because everybody knows Ryan Tannehill is not the option in 2 years that's going to carry the franchise forward. There's not that kind of hope pushing you forward that there's a ton beyond what they are right now, because with Ryan Tannehill in his playing out of his mind still at this point? You wonder how much more there is. They still didn't beat the Texans down the stretch.
They could on Sunday.
Two weeks ago, that game really mattered. Didn't beat the Saints down the stretch either. You will probably sit back and think, man, like that was a really fun ride. Like they were really good for a minute. But is there a stark difference going forward between what they are, what they're going to be, and what they have been? And I just don't see that right now with this team or this organization, given the lack of leverage they have to get some transcendent player.
I think the potential is there, though, for it to be different. Because let me say this. I at least have hope with Ryan Tannehill.
Yes.
I rarely
this season,
had hope
yes.
with Marcus Mariota. And I have hope that the change of scenery for Ryan Tannehill is a breakthrough in his career, and he's not the same quarterback in that he was in Miami. So he obviously has not been in the small sample size, but I'm talking for a 2-3-4 year stretch of Ryan Tannehill being this team's starting quarterback. I at least have hope right now. There is hope you can cling to when there was very little hope with number 8.
So what is the upside to your hope then? Meaning right now, like how good do they get? Next year, how good can they be? And then going forward beyond there, how high do your hopes go?
Contending for the division every year.
Okay. At what record? 10-6?
10-6, 11, maybe 11-5.
Maybe 11-5.
If you luck out with the schedule. I mean, shoot, the Buffalo Bills are about to go 11-5, but their schedule has been complete garbage.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors, I would say, with the Buffalo Bills and their record because of the competition they're playing. I would say the same thing. I did say the same thing last hour with the New England Patriots. I mean, they've lucked out that the cross-division opponents mm-hmm. have been the NFC East.
Yeah. The worst division in football.
And was it the North or the West?
Did they play the Bears?
No, the AFC North or the West.
Oh, excuse me.
Either way, neither of those divisions outside of the division winners have been.
Yes, yes. So
it was the AFC North and it was the NFC East. This year, I mean, that is Cupcake City outside of Baltimore.
So that upside of 10-6, maybe 11-5 is enough for you to consider this a big enough difference for you to be happy going forward if you're a Titans fan.
I think it has to be when the last decade has been what it has been, and you at least feel like with Ryan Tannehill and, let's say, a budding number one receiver in A.J. Brown, who has flashed a lot more than what Corey Davis has flashed in the last 2 or 3 years. I would say, yeah, I have a lot more hope in this Titans team that they could be something – they could be more than what they have been in the last 3 years with this core moving forward because of what's happened since the Denver game.
See, I wonder about the staying power because, yes, I believe in A.J. Brown as number one receiver for sure. But I see the Ryan Tannehill regression coming, and I firmly believe that it's going to be there. Derrick Henry, let's say he's still this guy going down this final game and in the playoffs that he plays, runs out of his mind, runs very, very well, and even into next season runs very, very well. But everybody agrees on the shelf life of running backs in this league.
Sure.
That staying power probably isn't there at that position, just given the way the position is played, the nature of it. The defense, not what it was last year.
Yes, they've also had injuries. I don't like making excuses all the time, but they have had injuries, especially here late.
Yes, well, to that secondary,
they didn't have Jeffrey Simmons much of the first half of the season. Mm-hmm. Malcolm Butler gets hurt midway through the year. Adoree Jackson hasn't been playing the last couple weeks.
Because injuries in the NFL happen all the time. Does that make last year an aberration or this year an aberration?
I would lean towards this year.
I would say this year is more of an aberration given the density of the injuries to the secondary.
I would 100% agree with that.
I'm just, as a Titans fan, I would sit back and think, okay, like, yes, this is fun, this is good, we have hope that at least we're competitive, we're a good team. But the difference between that and what they were last year, you know, not that big of a difference that you have, that I would have, this eternal hope. Not, I can't say eternal hope because I'm not trying to misquote you, but have this vigor going forward that this team can compete, because I don't believe in them right now with their current construction as legitimate contenders in the AFC. And I think it's hard to see them as that when they're not even on top of their division in the year where they had one of the hottest streaks in the NFL.
I mean, look, you're entitled to your opinion.
It is Sports Talk Radio.
It is Sports Talk Radio. I respectfully disagree. And that Titans fans have not had a lot of hope to cling to, and really ever since the 13-3 season in 2008. Seriously, this team, this franchise has had a lot of awful seasons. And what we have seen since the Denver game is unlike anything we have seen with this Titans team, really, in their entire franchise, where they have been this explosive. And we can all point to one change being the change in that entire landscape of what we're seeing with the Titans, and that's Ryan Tannehill.
That's why in the moment, like on the kickoff on Sunday mornings, I've been preaching, Titans fans, enjoy what you have right now, because not only is this special for this organization, but this doesn't happen across the league very much. And it's crazy to wonder the what-ifs. You can sit there and die on them. But you wonder, what if Ryan Tannehill had played those first few games? And personally, I don't think he would have had the same impact. And I think that's going to wear off. The impact he's had is going to wear off.
Why don't you think he would have had the same impact?
Because coming in to start the year would have changed the complete process of him being the quarterback and switching from Mariota, and then kind of that kick in the pants everybody might have needed when that quarterback change happened, even though I don't think much was going wrong outside of the quarterback at that juncture.
That's fair, but I think we'll see here in the next, hopefully the next couple weeks,
good
and then
it'll all play
in 2020.
Out. It'll all play out in front of us. Ryan Tannehill will likely be back.
What I will say is that, again, I believe in this Titans team a lot more than I ever believed in this Titans team with Marcus Mariota.
I totally believe in them to be 9-7 next year too.
I think they can be better than that.
I wouldn't say it's any more likely. Like, they weren't going to be that with Marcus Mariota, and then Ryan Tannehill came in and replaced and was better than Marcus Mariota. So that happened. They played above expectations, and they're going to normalize. Like, the rate at which they were winning games and playing very well is going to fall back a little bit.
We can go in circles on this, and we have.
Successfully, for a whole segment.
We have. Coming up next, though, it is Stick to Sports. Marquise Munson, I know, has some good things up his sleeve behind the glass. We will get to that coming up next. Ryan Porth and Calvin Smith here with you on this Thursday morning. It is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in to Morning Drive. Ryan Porth and Calvin Smith here with you on this Thursday morning. We're getting some good text in on the text line, 615-737-1025. What was your worst Christmas gift? And the winner of the worst Christmas gift will win a 4-pack of movie passes to the Malco Theater in Smyrna. So we're looking forward to it. We will unveil some of the texts later on in the show.
Unveil?
Reveal. Whatever. Whatever reveal.
Veal?
Branded veal.
Unveil. Reveal.
Unveil.
Maybe I'm saying it wrong.
Marquise needs to break this tie. Is it unveil or unveil?
I thought it was unveil.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I think it's unveil.
So I'm saying it wrong.
I mean,
I wouldn't be surprised. Unveil. That's what I thought it was.
I always say unveil and reveal.
Okay.
Breaded
never,
veal.
Never heard that.
I don't even know what
breaded veal is.
You don't know what breaded veal is? Let's just stick to sports.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
And stick to sports. Now, on Morning Drive.
All right. Stick to sports. Every day at 8:45 on this show, Marquise Munson behind the glass has some things up his sleeve for this edition of Stick to Sports.
Number one.
Always got some things up his sleeve.
100%.
Always, man. All right, so number one. Now, if I ever win the lotto, because that's what I want to do, obviously. I want to hit the lotto. You know, I want to get some money. I got to pay these student loans off. I want to have the best house in Lower Antioch that is possible. I want to have them. I basically want to live like Eddie Murphy on Trading Places. So One day, that's going to be the goal. But what you cannot do is you can't forget that you still have to kind of be low-key and live a normal life. Because even though you won the lotto, you don't want a lot of people knowing that you won the lotto.
You don't want a lotto people knowing that.
You know, you don't want to. Yeah, I got that. That was good.
Smooth.
You know, because then all of a sudden you got a lot of cousins. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's coming out the woodworks. You know, hey, cousin, what's up?
They all want a piece of that.
And they all want a piece of it. So you got to live your normal life even if you win the lottery. So a reporter, a Spanish TV reporter, didn't do this because this person went on national TV after hitting the lotto and looked into the camera and said, I'm not coming back to work tomorrow, and quit her job live on television. But here's the catch, though. So she did win the lotto, but the lotto was awarded for 5,000 euros, which equals $5,000. $5,300. So basically, she didn't win the big pot of $1 billion, nothing. She only got $5,000.
And she quit her job.
But I guess she didn't know this, and she quit her job. And now she has to try to gain that job back.
Oh,
because
no.
$5,000 is not going to get you through.
That's like a month of living.
Pretty much.
Bills, rent.
Well, not if you live in Lower Antioch. You live in Lower Antioch like me and you save up on gift cards and coupons, then you can live life $5,000 easy. But no, she didn't. I guess she did not know that this was basically, she won like it was a pool. So it was like $1 billion, but it was spreading it out to different people.
It's a pool? Like, so a lottery pool. So a lot of people won this prize.
Yeah, so multiple people, a lot of people won this, but apparently she thought she won the billion, and only 5,000 of it is going to her, and she decided to quit her job.
It's important to read the disclaimers.
You should at least know what you're signing up for when you play the lottery, right? And know what the pot is you can win, or at least, like, listen to somebody tell you what you're getting.
Right. So she thought she was getting the whole pot, and she's only getting
$5,000 of it.
Oof.
Yeah, that's bad. That's really just kind of general
sense. I don't think I would quit a job if I won the lottery until I acquired the money.
I couldn't quit my job, period, because like I would just go stir crazy. Like, I need a job to feel normal during the day.
Oh,
this
like
is true.
I still want to live the producer life that I live, the very luxurious life of being a producer. If you ever check my Snapchat account, you'll know how luxurious my life is. But no, I want to pull up next to D-Mace and his Range Rover, pull up in a Lamborghini, you know, that's, yeah. I want D-Mace to be like, yeah, that's my producer that does that. And, you know, I want to live a normal life because you don't want everybody to know you're rich.
All with 5,000 euros.
Yeah. But if I have 5,000 euros right now, I'll take it. I'll definitely take it.
Number two.
Okay, so the only time I ever see this kind of story happen is an establishment that I'm not going to say on the radio, but you guys will probably, when I read the story, you probably know what kind of establishment this is. But there's a guy who basically robbed a bank in Colorado Springs. And instead of, you know, robbing a bank like a normal person, going into hiding, you know, doing general criminal activities, this man became Robin Hood of Colorado Springs because he robbed the bank. He threw the money in the air to complete strangers on the streets and said Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's and all that good stuff. And then that's what he did with his money that he robbed. So now you're going to go to jail.
He was promptly arrested, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And he made it rain on general pedestrians on the street. So congratulations. I mean, look, I love Robin Hood. The Robin Hood story is amazing because it's you know, steal from the rich, give to the poor. I love that kind of story, but you can't do it in real life.
No.
Because
so if you're walking on the street, do you like pick up the money? Like you walk by this guy throwing money that he just stole from a bank. Do you like go near enough to him to grab the money?
But that's an interesting question.
That's a crime.
Well, so witnesses say that people walking down the street picked up the money and returned it to the bank. Now,
how did the
faith in humanity restored?
How did the people know that money was robbed? Did the guy shout out, "I just robbed a bank, Merry Christmas"?
Yes.
Did he yell, "I robbed a bank"?
Well, no, I don't think he said he robbed a bank, but he threw the money, yelled Merry Christmas, and I guess once they got all the information back from which person robbed this bank, all descriptions pointing out to the guy that was yelling Merry Christmas and threw all the money.
I mean, I know I would be suspicious. of
I think you
that.
Could reason your way there. You're walking by and this guy's just throwing money
doesn't
around.
Doesn't really happen every day.
He probably doesn't look like a sane individual either. I mean, he's probably not in like a suit or anything.
I'm going to stop and be like, whoa, before you throw that money. Where'd you get that from?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, go ahead, throw it. Go ahead, throw it. I'm ready. And then just be like lending up my arms, like, yeah, go ahead and throw it now. but it's that, and you know, kudos to him for, you know, the thought. It's the thought that counts, but
it's the thought that counts. It's the holiday season.
He tried to give back to the community. That's all it was. But if anybody tried to stop me, I'll just be like, hey, look, I've been had $10,000 in my pocket. I don't know about you guys. I hit the lotto, if you guys didn't know that. I got a crib in Lower Antioch. You want to go see it? I got a cheese popcorn machine. Like, you know, that's how I live.
A cheese popcorn machine.
Hey, man.
We all need one.
Yeah, we all need a cheese popcorn machine.
Number three.
All right. Our good friend Chase McAbabe's going to love this story because there's a Texas man, 19 years old, that was pulled over and he was, you know, got arrested for suspicion of marijuana, and now he's held on $2,000 bond. And people name their kids a lot of weird things in this world. You know, Marquise Munson is just a tremendous name. Shout out to Pearlie Washington, who gave me that name. But this person's name, 19 years old, was named Luke Skywalker. A guy by the name of Luke Aaron Skywalker Sexton, which is a long name, was arrested, 19 years old, in Texas because of marijuana. So basically, I don't know if he watched the new Star Wars movie before he got arrested, but Luke Skywalker arrested.
Luke Aaron Skywalker Sexton?
Yes, but just Luke Skywalker.
So is it like a hyphenated Skywalker Sexton?
No, it's just Luke Skywalker. Luke Aaron Skywalker Sexton. So basically,
four separate names.
Yeah. But his name is Luke Skywalker.
That's a parenting foul to allow that to happen.
Born with that name?
Yes.
Nobody changed anything in there.
No. I mean, he's 19, so I mean, obviously, if you're 19 years old, you grew up in the day, your parents grew up in the day and age of Star Wars. So
their parents are big fans.
So probably their parents are big Star Wars fans.
I still haven't seen.
Any of them?
Any of them.
Well, that's the big story here. You haven't seen a single Star Wars.
I haven't seen a single Star Wars. Don't get me on movies. You haven't seen, like, any movie.
Die Hard.
You haven't seen Die Hard yet?
I haven't seen any movies, no. Not even really a fan of movies, so.
And you haven't seen Sandlot either, have you?
No, have not seen Sandlot.
Like.
Sandlot?
You just said Sandlot.
Did I? Sandlot.
You did
no,
say
I haven't.
Sandlot.
Yeah.
Movie's not my thing at all.
Movies are neither one of your things. That's sad. That is sad for humanity that you've never seen Sandlot.
At least I've seen Star Wars.
That is the greatest sports movie
at least
of all time.
I mean, name another sports movie. Like I probably
remember the Titans?
I think I've seen like half of it.
Oh.
Half of it. Wow.
I didn't like it either. So.
Oh.
Hey, man, whose kid is this, man? Whose kid is this?
Get out of the studio.
Oh.
How do you not remember the Titans and Sandlot are one and two best sports movies of all time, and you've never seen
Miracle.
Miracle, best sports movie. Miracle and Moneyball tied at number one best movies of all time.
Well, that's because you've seen those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you look at any list, remember the Titans and Sandlot are going to be top five.
Moneyball was great. Moneyball is still great, and it changed an entire landscape of young sports fans.
Analytics guy over here with Moneyball.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course,
he's going to like Moneyball.
One of the members of the Sandlot went to the Dodgers. That's why.
If Sandlot was about analytics, he would have seen it.
Oh, yeah. I actually would have, yeah.
Yeah. But since it's about a lot of kids playing on the Sandlot when they were 8, 9, 10 years old, you haven't seen it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is official. Calvin Smith does not support U Sports now. He does not watch Sandlot. He does not support U Sports.
Not here for your Play 60 initiatives.
That is it for Stick to Sports here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The game coming up next. The college football playoff. Joe Burrow, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Jalen Hurts. How are the quarterbacks going to determine the national champion? We will get into that next. He's Calvin Smith. I'm Ryan Porth. On ESPN 102.5, The Game.